Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and in the next half-hour segment, we're going to take a look at an aspect of the growing conflict in what used to be Yugoslavia that has not received a lot of attention in the media, namely the role of drugs and the trafficking in drugs by some of the elements allied with the NATO intelligence operation there. Let me stress that the analysis that follows is vitally important. I think there's more to it than just the CIA and drugs. That's only part of what's going on. In fact, as I've indicated on my long talk show that airs on Sunday nights on my home base station in the Bay Area, I think the real executive authority in the Balkans war is Germany, and I think they will be the long-term beneficiary of the American military effort. Essentially, I think that American arms are being used to further the cause of German imperialism in Europe. That, however, will be the focal point of future programs. Nonetheless, drug trafficking by the KLA and by some ethnic Albanians is a major issue in this conflict and one that is not receiving the attention due it. One of the very first to call attention to this was Mike Rupert, a former LAPD narcotics detective whose work has been aired on this program before. Mike has been crusading very heroically for a number of years against the intelligence community's trafficking in drugs, and his excellent From the Wilderness newsletter of April 24th of 1999 discussed the KLA and drugs and the situation in what used to be Yugoslavia. This is from, again, From the Wilderness. That's Mike Rupert's newsletter, which gets the Dave Emery five-star rating. This is from Volume 2, Number 2, from April 24th of 1999. And I'll give some information at the end of the program about how to subscribe to From the Wilderness. You can visit Mike's website at www.copvcia.com. That's www.copvcia.com. We're going to get directly to the first of the two articles from this newsletter that I'm going to read. This is an article that Mike has entitled, Of Ducks and Dinosaurs, Vietnam and the Balkans is Real, Richard Armitage and the Pyramids of Albania. The article reads in part as follows, skipping down. The Kosovo conflict is so much a page out of a CIA covert operations manual with surreal parallels to the past that many veterans of such operations are screaming that we are being set up for another Vietnam. Gene Wheaton, a retired Army CID investigator and counterterrorist expert with experience in Iran, is a veteran of two wars and three revolutions. He is so angry that he is willing to board a plane for Yugoslavia, don his Army uniform, and, quote, stand on a bridge with the Serbs as the U.S. drops bombs on me, unquote. Again quoting, this is an outrage to any American who ever wore the uniform with honor, says Wheaton. Again quoting, the people we are bombing are not our enemies. And skipping down, and now, as an all-too-common bellwether of regional conflict since 1945, the heroin trade is booming. The current war is a product of both. And again, let me stress that I differ in certain respects with some of the material in the articles that you're about to hear. I think this is vital analysis, and hence I'm presenting it. I think there's much more to this than the CIA and drugs. I don't think this is likely to turn into another Vietnam, but that remains to be seen. I think there are some differences. Who knows? It may be that it will turn out that way. I have asked the question about whether a crisis which in large measure was started by George Bush winds up putting his son in office in the year 2000 by discrediting the Democrats. That remains to be seen. I'd be surprised if this turned into another Vietnam, but certainly there are some superficial similarities between the Balkans conflict as it has been developing and the way the Southeast Asian conflict developed, and not the least of those is that we are allied with a drug trafficking syndicate in this war. Back to Mike's articles, Ducks and Dinosaurs, Kosovo, Vietnam, and Armitage. Mike writes, for me, the signal of imminent trouble in the region came in 1995 and 1996 when former Assistant Secretary of Defense Richard Armitage, a member of the Aspen Institute with former directors of Central Intelligence John Woolsey, John Deutsch, William Webster, and other notables like Brent Scowcroft, Al Gore, and Dianne Feinstein, went to Albania in the wake of brutal IMF sanctions to help Albania restructure its economy. Armitage is also a covert Vietnam vet and buddy of Ted Shackley, Richard Secord, Ollie North, and John Singlaub. He was the DOD's point containment man for POW affairs under Ronald Reagan. He has also repeatedly been linked to CIA drug operations, Iran-Contra, and a host of other illegal activities, which prompted a diminutive yet enraged Ross Perot to back the 6-foot powerlifter into the corner of a Pentagon corridor in 1986. Almost immediately after Armitage's arrival in Albania, a series of pyramid or Ponzi schemes started sucking cash out of the Albanian economy and redefining the money flow of the region. The pyramid schemes, similar to the kind that appeared in the U.S. in the late 1970s, were ideal vehicles to launder cash for a heroin trade that was suddenly shifting into the control of Albanian and Kosovo-based organized crime groups. I recalled, without much satisfaction, that Richard Armitage had been President George Bush's special economic envoy to the former Soviet Union just before the Russian mafia had exploded into the drug trade in 1989 and 90. Immediately thereafter, we saw bloody conflicts in Chechnya and increased drug traffic through Azerbaijan. Everywhere Armitage goes, there is a sudden increase in the drug trade and some kind of armed conflict inevitably follows. The Albanian KLA heroin organized crime connection has been no exception. Armitage is an Annapolis graduate to whom Colin Powell has referred as his white son, unquote. During the last days of the Vietnam War, he participated in several secret missions to extract or destroy key material from South Vietnam before it fell into enemy hands. Former Special Forces troops who worked with CIA at the time have told From the Wilderness about how secret lists of U.S.-Vietnamese human assets suddenly fell into communist hands immediately thereafter. One source said that Armitage just walked away and left the file cabinet unlocked. The massacre started shortly after. That's about the same attitude of support Armitage showed for American POWs. Nothing stands in the way of profits. Along with former covert operative Eric von Marbod, Richard Armitage came up in the training ground of Ted Shackley's covert war in Laos. That war was funded almost entirely on Golden Triangle heroin. It was also where the current third option strategy of creating and arming both sides of a conflict to achieve regional hegemony was refined. Just last year, the Washington Times reported that Richard Armitage had been negotiating oil leases and development contracts for U.S. firms in Albania and, quote, the former Yugoslavia, unquote. Now, our Air Force is destroying Yugoslavia's refineries and production facilities. Who's going to get to build the new ones as the U.S., beginning again, who's going to get to build the new ones as the U.S., Britain, and a resurgent Germany take control of the region? As Madeleine Albright said at a recent press conference, quote, NATO will be in charge of the real estate in Kosovo, just as they are in Bosnia, unquote. Has everyone forgotten that the U.S. government referred to the KLA just a year ago as terrorists? Has everyone forgotten in the current wag-the-dog propaganda assault that the Serbs, going back to World War II, have been U.S. allies, that they are Christians, and that they are not receiving military training from countries which sponsor Islamic terror? We hear reports of mass graves. We hear reports of rape and atrocities. Have we yet seen any of the victims? And let's not forget that the CIA is a past master at creating victims. Former U.S. Army Special Forces Captain John McCarthy, who ran the CIA's Project Cherry in Vietnam, recounts how, quote, "We trained Cambodians to go into Cambodia dressed as NVA and commit horrible crimes which were blamed on the communists. That was my job for the agency," unquote. European TV produced a fabulous series a few years ago called Gladio, which contained hard evidence of how Special Forces troops throughout Europe had committed robberies and bombings which were blamed on terrorists at CIA direction. By the way, I would interject it was much more than just the CIA involved with Operation Stay Behind, which was the overall parent program of Gladio, which was the Italian manifestation of that. But the Operation Stay Behind did indeed involve elements of U.S. intelligence along with other NATO and countries, and basically fascists were used to form what were supposed to be guerrilla groups in the event of a communist takeover. In fact, they formed an infrastructure for creating terrorist incidents and committing assassinations, which were then blamed on the left. There are numerous programs about Gladio. RFA-19 goes into the strategy of tension. There's a miscellaneous archive show about Gladio, plus numerous For the Record segments about various aspects of Operation Gladio, including the Turkish Gladio, which used the Grey Wolves. Again, those are all available from Spitfire. Returning to Mike Rupert's From the Wilderness newsletter, granted, it's not hard to find people to kill each other in the Balkans. Atrocities occur on both sides. but I was particularly taken aback when other Special Forces veterans called me and found it strange that one of our poor POWs appeared to be wearing Italian jump wings, a sign of Ranger or Special Forces training, and that the ages of the POWs didn't fit with their listed ranks or times in grade. One former Green Beret just flat out said that the Americans were on a LRP, a long-range reconnaissance patrol, where they weren't supposed to be, and that they were deliberately set up to be captured. Tie another yellow ribbon. Then two more people called me up regarding the soldier who was supposedly beaten and asked, quote, "How come there's no swelling? There's always swelling after a beating," unquote. From the few beatings I have taken and given, and from the aftermath of the hundreds of fights I investigated as a policeman on the street, there is always swelling. Kosovo is vastly different from the Contra War or from Afghanistan and Pakistan. Why? Because U.S. air power is overwhelmingly committed at the outset. Because the, quote, "mighty Wurlitzer," unquote, of American media is feeding on the hapless plight of helpless victims on a scale akin to William Randolph Hearst's coverage of the sinking of the Maine in Havana Harbor. By the way, I would interject that led to the Spanish-American War. Continuing with Mike's account, and it is especially different because of the fact that, as of April 20th, 1999, U.S. ground forces from the 82nd Airborne are already on the ground in Albania for the purpose of supporting Apache attack helicopters. Too many Vietnam vets and historians remember that the very first U.S. ground troops in Vietnam were sent in to support a contingent of Marine helicopters. Vietnam was a CIA war and not a Pentagon war. Had it been a Pentagon war, the Pentagon would have won it. If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Kosovo not only looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's burying us in a sea of duck manure. It is a CIA war taken from a mold laid out in 1981 by former CIA Associate Deputy Director of Operations Ted Shackley and later published in his book The Third Option. In that book, Shackley, who served as Assistant Deputy Director of Operations under George Bush, lays out the phases of CIA-managed conflict, starting with the cadre phase and escalating through the incipient, operational, and covert war phases until the final stage of conventional war is reached. In comparing the guidelines Shackley wrote to the events we see happening today, it seems as if the United States is well on its way to a conventional ground war in Kosovo and Albania. What we may be seeing is a rerun of World War II the way Adolf Hitler envisioned, the U.S., Britain, and Germany carving up Middle Europe as allies and denying it to the Russians. The only difference now is that the quick and cheap capital and funding mechanism of the drug trade has replaced the much more time-consuming process of investment and extraction of war costs from a producing economy. And again, let me stress that I think this is vitally important and largely accurate analysis. However, I think there's much more to it than the CIA. Indeed, I think the real whip hand, so to speak, the real executive authority and the people who will benefit the most will be the resurgent Germany that Mike has correctly fingered as one of the major elements in this conflict. I think the basically American arms are being used to further German imperialism in Europe, although I'm sure U.S. corporations will benefit from by sharing in the spoils. The next article in the very same issue of From the Wilderness, the April 24th, 1999 issue, Volume 2, Number 2, is entitled by Mike Rupert, "Kosovo Liberation Army and Albanian Sponsors Have Well-Documented Roots in the Heroin Trade," subtitled, "The Drug Trade is Entrenched in NATO Politics." And this article reads, "An exceptional record of respected media sources from the U.S. and Europe have documented that the Kosovo Liberation Army and their Albanian sponsors are heroin-financed organized crime groups struggling to dominate the flow of Middle Eastern heroin into Europe and even the eastern United States." The Christian Science Monitor reported on October 20, 1994, quote, "Disrupted by the Yugoslav conflict, drug trafficking across the Balkans is making a comeback as Albanian mafia barons carve out a new smuggling route to Western Europe, bypassing the peninsula's war zones, according to United Nations and other narcotics experts," unquote. To document the increase in traffic through the Albanian Kosovar region, the Monitor continued, quote, "For example, just 14 pounds of hard drugs were seized by Hungarian police in 1990, but by August of this year, 1994, the figure had risen to 1,304 pounds, unquote. In describing the then-evolving trade, which was coming to be dominated by Kosovar Albanians, the Monitor added, "But European police chiefs fear the conduit will strengthen Kosovo-Albanian drug syndicates, some of the most powerful on the continent, whose tentacles have stretched as far as the east coast of the United States. From their base in Veliki Ternovac in southern Serbia, dubbed the Medellin of the Balkans, Albanian mafia chiefs oversee the European drug operation and are suspected of masterminding the new Balkan route," unquote. By the way, that's capital V-E-L-K-I, capital T-R-N-O-V-A-C, that name. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Indeed, I will probably mispronounce other Balkans names as well. Continuing with Mike's article, the highly respected Jane's Intelligence Review from Great Britain went much deeper in predicting the coming crisis in a February 1, 1995 article entitled "The Balkan Medellin." Three paragraphs from that article are so compelling, we reprint them here in their entirety. Quote, "The Albanian-dominated region of Western Macedonia accounts for a disproportionate share of Macedonia's shrinking GDP. This situation has strengthened Albanophobic sentiments among the ethnic Macedonian majority, especially as a great deal of revenue is thought to derive from Albanian narco-terrorism, as well as associated gun-running and cross-border smuggling to and from Albania, Bulgaria, and the Kosovo province of Serbia. Although its extent and forms remain in dispute, this rising Albanian economic power is helping to turn the Balkans into a hub of criminality. Previously transported to Western Europe through Yugoslavia, heroin from Turkey, the Transcaucasus, and points further east is now being increasingly routed to Italy via the Black Sea, Albania, Bulgaria, and Macedonia. This is a development that has strengthened the Albanian mafia, which is now thought to control 70% of the illegal heroin market in Germany and Switzerland. Closely allied to the powerful Sicilian mafia, the Albanian associates have also greatly benefited from the presence of large numbers of mainly Kosovar Albanians in a number of Western European countries. Switzerland alone now has over 100,000 ethnic Albanian residents. As well as providing a perfect cover for Albanian criminals, this diaspora is also a useful source of income for racketeers. If left unchecked, this growing Albanian narco-terrorism could lead to a Colombian syndrome in the southern Balkans, or the emergence of a situation in which the Albanian mafia becomes powerful enough to control one or more states in the region. In practical terms, this will involve either Albania or Macedonia or both. Politically, this is now being done by channeling growing foreign exchange profits from narco-terrorism into local governments and political parties. In Albania, the ruling Democratic Party, led by President Sali Berisha, B-E-R-I-S-H-A, is now widely suspected of tacitly tolerating and even directly profiting from drug trafficking for wider politico-economic reasons, namely the financing of secessionist political parties and other groupings in Kosovo and Macedonia, unquote. These four-year-old evaluations, along with an abundance of other evidence of Albanian-Kosovar mafia expansion, paint a whole new picture of what is really happening in Kosovo. Clearly, Serbia is legitimately defending itself from an organized crime syndicate taking control of one of its provinces. How powerful is the Albanian mafia? Well, as far back as 1985, it was powerful enough to frighten New York U.S. Attorney Rudy Giuliani, who, according to a Wall Street Journal article dated September 9th, was receiving special personal protection after prosecuting a heroin case in New York City connected to a ring of powerful Albanian traffickers. The Journal wrote, quote, "But it is drug trafficking that has gained Albanian organized crime the most notoriety. Some Albanians, according to Federal Drug Enforcement Agency officials, are key traders in the Balkan connection, the Istanbul to Belgrade heroin route. While less well-known than the so-called Sicilian and French connections, the Balkan route in some years may move 24 to 40% of the U.S. heroin supply, officials say." Unquote. If the Albanians were moving 24 to 40% 14 years ago, then given their growing control over the traffic through the region, their access to Western Europe, and mobility throughout the world, they may well control more than half of the heroin now entering the United States, and law enforcement sources indicate that they control 75% of the heroin entering Western Europe. Michel Chassudovsky, capital C-H-O-S-S-U-D-O-V-S-K-Y, professor of economics at the University of Ottawa, has written an absolutely brilliant article on the Kosovo War, which decimates in its entirety the U.S. government's stated version of events and lays bare a plan to recolonize the region on behalf of Germany and the United States. The meticulously footnoted article sums up the entire Kosovo nightmare in one sentence by saying, quote, "The West was relying on its KLA puppets to rubber stamp an agreement which would have transformed Kosovo into an occupied territory under Western administration," unquote. After describing in detail the heroin-financed, organized crime, political power structure of the region, and noting carefully that there are other organized political entities not involved in the drug trade speaking on behalf of ethnic Albanians from Kosovo, Chassudovsky documents the military and intelligence alliance between Bonn, now Berlin, and Washington to create the KLA. Quote, "Since the early 1990s, beginning again, quote, "since the early 1990s, Bonn and Washington have joined hands in establishing their respective spheres of influence in the Balkans. Their intelligence agencies have also collaborated. According to intelligence analyst John Whitley, covert support to the Kosovo rebel army was established between the CIA and Germany's BND. The task to create and finance the KLA was initially given to Germany." Quote, "They used German uniforms, East German weapons, and were financed in part with drug money. According to Whitley, the CIA was subsequently instrumental in training and equipping the KLA in Albania," unquote. Giving the overall economic perspective, Chassudovsky notes the effect of often brutal economic sanctions imposed by the IMF and other banking institutions, which so often presage a region's descent into apparent anarchy before it's rescued by the, quote, "benevolent," unquote, industrial powers. The application of strong economic medicine under the guidance of the Washington-based Bretton Woods institutions had contributed to wrecking Albania's banking system and precipitating the collapse of Albania's economy. The resulting chaos enabled American and European transnationals to carefully position themselves. Several Western oil companies, some represented by Richard Armitage, including Occidental, Shell, and British Petroleum, had their eyes riveted on Albania's abundant and unexplored oil deposits. Western investors were also gawking Albania's extensive reserves of chrome, copper, gold, nickel, and platinum, unquote. Given these undeniable facts and a well-documented history which the Internet and publications like this will not forget, the current propaganda and very real war being fought in Kosovo takes on a new and unforgivable light. Ronald Reagan's comparison of the Contras in Central America to America's founding fathers is today as comical as it is offensive in light of what we know about the Contra War and how the Contras were financed. The Mujahideen freedom fighters of Afghanistan and Pakistan, who we financed with heroin from the same fields which now supply the KLA, have become terrorists who attack embassies and target American citizens. And skipping down, it was a bittersweet affirmation for me to read Chassudovsky's own analysis. Quote, "The fate of Kosovo had already been carefully laid out prior to the signing of the 1995 Dayton Agreement. NATO had entered an unwholesome marriage of convenience with the mafia. Freedom fighters were put in place. The narcotics trade enabled Washington and Bonn to finance the Kosovo conflict with the ultimate objective of destabilizing the Belgrade government and fully recolonizing the Balkans," unquote. Amen. By the way, Mike has posted Professor Chassudovsky's entire paper on his website. He goes on to reference Professor Chassudovsky. He can be contacted by mail at the Department of Economics, University of Ottawa, voice box 1-613-562-5800, extension 1415. His email is chassudovsky@sprint.ca. That's chassudovsky@sprint.ca. And again, the full text of Professor Chassudovsky's article has been placed on Mike's website at www.copvcia.com. That's one word, C-O-P-V-C-I-A, www.copvcia.com. And you can contact Mike Rupert if you're interested in the From the Wilderness newsletter, and I strongly recommend this newsletter. And by the way, let me stress that I get no monies from this. You can contact Mike Rupert by regular mail at P.O. Box 6061-350, Sherman Oaks, California, 91413. Once again, that's P.O. Box 6061-350, Sherman Oaks, California, 91413. You can reach Mike by email at mrupert@copvcia.com. That's mrupert@copvcia.com. The website, again, is www.copvcia.com. That's www.copvcia.com. And you can reach Mike by phone at 818-788-8791. That's 818-788-8791. Fax number is 818-981-2847. That's 818-981-2847. I've done a number of interviews with Mike in the past about various subjects, including the Tyree suit, and there are also a number of readings from the wilderness. And those and all of the other tapes that I've produced over the years are available from a tape duplication service called Spitfire. That's one word, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E. You can reach them by mail at P.O. Box 1179. That's P.O. Box 1179. That's in Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. Once again, Spitfire, P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. There's also an email address for Spitfire. That's spitfire@ix.netcom.com. spitfire@ix.netcom.com. There's a list of and description of the tapes available from Spitfire. You can also hear the tape currently being sent out to radio stations because the Spitfire website is equipped with real audio. You can visit that website at www.spitfirelist.com. That's www.spitfirelist.com. And listeners can also hear the longer program that I do on my home base station, KFJC-FM, in the San Francisco Bay Area. On the KFJC website, you can visit that at www.kfjc.org. That's www.kfjc.org. I'm on from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Sunday night and 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time on Thursday evening. Okay? That's and again, you can hear that at www.kfjc.org. I'm on from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday night, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time on Thursday evening. That concludes this segment. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.